David Cameron said no to Europe, and last night he got his reward. At a dinner in Chequers, he was toasted to the rafters by Tory MPs, by the people who had urged him before he went to Brussels to show the British bulldog spirit, by the people who could have threatened his future as Prime Minister if he had done anything else. Is that why he did it? Or was he truly defending British interests against those who would seize yet more power for Brussels and leave us weaker? Well, the Chancellor, George Osborne, is with me here in the studio, but let's talk first to Lionel Barber, the editor of the Financial Times, which has printed a leading article this morning casting grave doubt on what Mr. Cameron did and why. Good morning to you.
Good morning, John.
Now, you've said in the Leader that Mr. Cameron wielded the veto and gained nothing in return. Surely what he gained in return was protecting the city.
Well, he hasn't received any assurances from his European colleagues to that effect. It's not clear to me that the Prime Minister has gained anything.
Received no assurances, but the fact is, had they signed up to the deal, the city would have been vulnerable. The City of London, our financial industry, would have been vulnerable.
John, the city remains vulnerable to EU legislation at any rate. There is some, there are legislation in the pipeline that we are talking about, banking supervision, capital ratios, insurance industry. This remains the case. But I would also emphasize, and I saw this because I spent 6 years as a correspondent in Brussels in the 1990s. I saw Britain leave the table during the so-called Beef War. The fact is that we are a member of the European Union, and we do forge alliances both within the Council of Ministers and, by the way, in the European Parliament, which nobody's mentioning. These parliamentarians have also a very great influence over legislation.
But what would he have gained by joining the other 26, apart from the cosy feeling of being inside rather than outside?
It's not always a cosy feeling, because there's bargaining at stake. The problem at joining at 27 is that there would have then been a treaty change, as demanded by the German Chancellor, which would then have led to vociferous demands in this country, and I think irresistible demands, for a referendum. And the Prime Minister did not want that, because it would have split his own party and destroyed the coalition.
Segment 1. David Cameron said no to Europe, and last night he got his reward. At a dinner in Chequers, he was toasted to the rafters by Tory MPs, by the people who had urged him before he went to Brussels to show the British bulldog spirit, by the people who could have threatened his future as Prime Minister if he had done anything else. Is that why he did it? Or was he truly defending British interests against those who would seize yet more power for Brussels and leave us weaker? Well, the Chancellor, George Osborne, is with me here in the studio, but let's talk first to Lionel Barber, the editor of the Financial Times, which has printed a leading article this morning casting grave doubt on what Mr. Cameron did and why. Good morning to you.
Segment 2.
Good morning, John.
Now, you've said in the Leader that Mr. Cameron wielded the veto and gained nothing in return. Surely what he gained in return was protecting the city.
Well, he hasn't received any assurances from his European colleagues to that effect. It's not clear to me that the Prime Minister has gained anything.
Received no assurances, but the fact is, had they signed up to the deal, the city would have been vulnerable. The City of London, our financial industry, would have been vulnerable.
Segment 3.
John, the city remains vulnerable to EU legislation at any rate. There is some, there are legislation in the pipeline that we are talking about, banking supervision, capital ratios, insurance industry. This remains the case. I would also emphasize, and I saw this because I spent 6 years as a correspondent in Brussels in the 1990s. I saw Britain leave the table during the so-called Beef War. The fact is that we are a member of the European Union, and we do forge alliances both within the Council of Ministers and, by the way, in the European Parliament, which nobody's mentioning. These parliamentarians have also a very great influence over legislation.
Segment 4.
But what would he have gained by joining the other 26, apart from the cosy feeling of being inside rather than outside?
It's not always a cosy feeling, because there's bargaining at stake. The problem at joining at 27 is that there would have then been a treaty change, as demanded by the German Chancellor, which would then have led to vociferous demands in this country, and I think irresistible demands, for a referendum. And the Prime Minister did not want that, because it would have split his own party and destroyed the coalition.